Good morning, RVA. It's 71 degrees, and today you should expect heat, humidity, and a chance for rain until this evening. Then, this evening, you should expect a chance for a lot of rain. Things dry and cool down tomorrow, though. Water cooler. As of this morning, the Virginia Department of Health reports 449 new positive cases of the coronavirus in the Commonwealth and 13 new deaths as a result of the virus. VDH reports 24 new cases in and around Richmond, Chesterfield 15, Henrico negative 1, and Richmond 10. Since this pandemic began, 366 people have died in the Richmond region. Whoa, this is a low number of new reported positive cases. That's the fewest number of new cases reported in a single day since July 6th. I have no idea if there's a reporting issue or what, but it does seem like we're riding a downward trend, at least for this particular metric. Speaking of metrics, the Virginia Department of Health released a new pandemic metrics dashboard that may interest some of you. The gist here is that you can look at a single rolled-up metric for your region called transmission extent and see the status of coronavirus at that point in time calculated weekly. A bunch of numbers and trends get wrapped up into transmission extent, so I think it's probably helpful for decision makers to use while figuring out what to close down or open up. It's certainly better than everyone just refreshing the percent positivity chart over and over and over again. If you really want to nerd out, check out the methodology document for how they put together transmission extent. The region, as defined by VDH, though, is super big, so I'm not sure transmission extent will help you decide whether or not you should stockpile toilet paper or barricade your doors. However, there is a CDC school metrics tab, which lines up with the CDC's recently released indicators for school decision-making table that you can filter down by locality. While focused on helping schools decide how to move forward with their reopening plans, this tab is probably more helpful for those of us obsessed with local data. Unfortunately, as of this moment, none of the tabs load for me. I'm sure VDH will get their IT issues sorted out later this morning, though. Fingers crossed. Kate Masters at the Virginia Mercury has a screenshot to tide you over until then. At last night's City Council meeting, which you can watch here, Council passed a lot of the papers I had my eye on, including the resolutions asking the mayor for more money for both the Affordable Housing Trust Fund, that's Resolution 2020-R053, and Public Defenders, that's Resolution 2020-R054. These types of resolutions are fine and clearly lay out Council's budgetary priorities to the mayor, but always remember that resolutions are non-binding. Plus, ultimately, City Council approves the budget. Keep both of these resolutions and their patrons in mind when we get into next year's budget season. Will these same legislators fight for these priorities with their actual legislative authority? Or will they just ask the mayor to do the work and move on? I imagine money will be in short supply next year, so are they willing to make cuts and hard decisions to get these priorities funded? We'll have to wait and see, but in the meantime, I need to figure out how to keep track of stuff like that. Maybe another Trello board? Also, surprising literally zero people, Council decided to continue the paper rezoning the area around the Science Museum, Allison, and VCU and VUU pulse stations. That's Ordinance 2020-103. As foretold, quote, in a letter to the Planning Department earlier this month, a coalition of seven neighborhood and civic associations representing those areas asked the Council to hold off until COVID-19-related meeting restrictions are lifted. The letter says residents feel they have not been able to adequately review the plan and discuss it with city officials. Chris Swears at the Richmond Times-Dispatch has more, but you can probably guess at most of it. I think we're at the point where folks need to email their council member and tell them to support more space for more people to live next to our best public transit infrastructure. Voting against this rezoning is voting against our city's housing, climate, and transit goals. It's unacceptable. You can find council member contact information here. Don't forget to copy their liaisons. Sort of related, the mayor presented part of his plan for increasing affordable housing to council last night. Roberta Roldan at VPM has some of the details, and you can download the full One Richmond, an equitable, affordable housing plan for yourself. There's a lot to dig in here, and I literally just opened the PDF for the first time a minute ago. But as I scroll through at a rapid pace, I like what I see. Actual policy and program recommendations start on page 38. Some of which aren't even asked the state to make more things legal for localities. For example, under the second goal, housing and services for residents with special needs, the plan recommends amending the zoning ordinance to allow 2 and 3 family dwelling units in all residential zones. Love it. Honestly, a lot of the things I see in this plan match up nicely with the goals and recommendations in the draft Richmond 300 plan, and I appreciate the coming at it from all angles approach. Roldan says that council will need to adopt this plan, so you should look forward to all sorts of public conversations about it. The Henrico and Richmond City Health Districts will host a free community COVID-19 testing event today at the Broad Rock Community Center. That's 4615 Ferguson Lane from 4 to 6 p.m. If you've got questions, you can always call the Corona Hotline at 804-205-3501. Spread the word, not the virus. You can watch a presidential debate tonight. I'm not sure you want to, but you totally can. Tune into your favorite news channel tonight at 9 p.m. for the 90-minute debate that will surely be something. This morning's long read is titled Vote Yes on VA's Redistricting Constitutional Amendment. I'll be voting yes on Amendment Number 1 in November. It's not perfect, but it's our last chance in a good long while to help curtail gerrymandering in Virginia. Here's an excerpt. But here's a crucial fact about the substitute legislation. Those changes would have reset the clock. That is, it wouldn't have been the second time that the legislation had voted on this amendment, but the first time they had voted on a new amendment, requiring a pause of 2 years so there could be an intervening legislative election before the legislature could have had a second vote. If it passed in 2023, then voters backed it that November, that amendment would happen years too late for the 2021 redistricting and have no effect at all until 2031. If you'd like your long read to show up here, go chip in a couple of bucks on the old Patreon. That's patreon.com/GMRVA. This morning's Instagram is by Instagram user Team Ride Finders and is a picture of the big, huge bike sculpture statue down at 4 Mile Creek, just right off the Capitol Trail. Intro and outro music by Matt Fisher, and you can find links to all these stories and more in the show notes or on gmrva.com.